up top. We're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top. We're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
And a very big welcome back to this week's and the last week's episode of One Up Top. We are here after finishing fourth in the table. We didn't have a podcast last week as it was men's mental health break after the Shelbourne game. I think it was nothing short of pulling the plug, deleting all the socials, deleting everything, and probably once I throw myself into the canal after the game. P, I don't think you would have been too far behind me.
No, very, very, very dark few hours on Sunday evening after the Shells game. It stung probably as much as one of the cup finals. But listen, we're a little bit more sprightly after Saturday afternoon. So yeah, all well that ends well, I suppose. Well, we won't know till Sunday, but we're still in with a puncher's chance anyway.
Yeah, definitely. We've probably an 80-20 likelihood of getting that final European spot. I think we probably all agree to that extent. Obviously, there's always that chance, and you can go wrong in a cup final. But I suppose we're touching on a little bit. And this is the last episode. I am just joined by Pete, so unfortunately, you'll have to bear with both of us for one more episode this year. And we will kick off things, and we'll start up on Saturday because I don't think we need to review the Shelbourne game. I think that's a bit of a distant memory now at this
Oh, into
stage.
the annals of history, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm starting to feel like Martin O'Neill here now at this stage, just getting brought back again, 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 but still doing the business, you know. So we take that. We will line up some better guests next season, though. We'll have European team style guests and everything, please God. So yeah, onwards and upwards for the podcast, anyway.
Absolutely, and I suppose we'll talk about that game on Saturday, P. We're about up in the corporate box for the game. We got a good vantage point.
With our prawn sandwiches.
With our prawn sandwiches and our bottles of champagne.
Yeah.
Two media accreditations we got off Throttle United, so we'd like to thank them very much for letting us in up into the building. So yeah, it was probably one of our best performances of the season, I think. Up in a pitch that you probably expected maybe not nothing to get. I think the law of averages said we were going to win or we were going to get something, but you know, still draw the place was packed and rammed and they were up for as much as we were.
Yeah, like just the start off the day, we got to Connolly and we were getting the 155 Enterprise train up and we're getting ready to board when a lady comes scuttling around to inform everybody that the train is broken down and won't be moving. So the day got off to a horrible, horrible start. And at that stage, I was just thinking, we just turn around and go home now this day. But luckily enough, they got another train on the platform for them. We rattled up the road quick enough for a couple of points beforehand. But yeah, like, I couldn't concentrate on the game like most people there on Friday. We were kind of watching, but weren't taking in what was going on. You were checking the Shell score. You were looking away. You were head in hand. It was a very difficult game to follow. But I thought we came back really, really well after the Shell game. We were winning headers that we haven't been winning for the last couple of weeks. We were winning tackles that we haven't been winning. And we just like looked really, really motivated. To get the job done up there, you know. There was always that worry that Pats were going to score on it. I actually left the ground a couple of minutes early. I just couldn't take the tension anymore. I just said, listen, I'm going to walk down the road and then I'll turn my phone off. And by the time I get down to the town, I'll knock my phone back on. So that's what I did. I walked down to the ground, turned the phone off, got down to Drogheda and turned the phone back on again. The messages were coming through. So I'll tell you how much of a coward I am. But yeah, job done anyway for now.
Yeah, I think we were up in the corporate section. We won't name a certain Bulls fan who was there. Well, you might want to. But I think it was about 20 minutes into the match when we just scored. And I think me and you were just literally pacing around in circles, stressed out of our mind, looking at the Shells game, looking out onto the pitch. And a certain Bulls fan turned around and went, "The Shells went good for us." And me and you just looked at each other and we could have killed them.
He goes by the name of a three-letter initial, so we let people work that out for themselves. But yeah, asking for whether a Shells or a Pats result was good for Bowes, and at that stage, my head was on Mars. I couldn't even start to explain the permutations. But yeah, looking back on it now, hilarious. But only that man can produce moments like that, you know.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll bring him to Europe with us next year as well. He might be a funny addition to it all. Yeah, he's been to a few before, and he might mention a few stories in his podcast before, which goes to show the range of guests I'm getting on. They don't know the permutations going into games.
If we qualify for the Asian Cup, he'll definitely be there anyway. But yeah,
Oh,
let's hope we can get him
absolutely,
to Europe as
yeah. But we did start well. We got the goal. They got the goal back, and then we Couldn't see it too well from our vantage point, the Mountie tackle, but I believe it was right red card and we got away
Ah,
with
yeah. We've seen it back a number of times. I mean, he probably should have went for the first one, never mind the second. I could not believe it after the second tackle that the referee would have been going for the card. It was hilarious. And he then rocked the yellow card, I think. I don't really remember that. But it looked like he's going to pick it up and wave at him again. But how he wasn't sent off, I never know. I mean, Drogheda must be absolutely fuming about that, because that would have changed the whole dynamic of the game. There's no way we were getting through on that pitch with that intensity, with 10 men. Just wouldn't happen, in my opinion. But we certainly, certainly, certainly got away with that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, came in just before half time. Clark got a second goal. First goal was a great finish. Second goal was all about being there. But I know we don't know about keeper Clark or not. I know he's probably thought about elsewhere in European football. He's probably looking to go across to England or Scotland at the moment. But I think he's played his best football when he's played off Dougie Taylor, Dougie Taylor's been fit. And he's probably gotten his couple of goals when Taylor was on the pitch to him. So, you know, that's his centre attacking mid is his position. And of course, we never got to utilise him as much as he wanted there. He's done his job up front, but he's going to be a bit of a loss if we do lose him.
Certainly looked like, you know, we changed around and had the two boys up top. It would be something you'd like to look at again, certainly, because it did work. And Taylor definitely looked more dangerous with someone close beside him. Clark was phenomenal. Like, yeah, any of the good things we've done this season, he's been there, thereabouts, you know. He's come up with a couple of big goals in big games. So he'd be a huge loss if he does walk. But I think we're still holding out that small bit of hope that things might turn, but not looking likely at the moment, unfortunately.
No, it's not looking likely, but we did go into the second half. The red card, an absolute brain dead tackle, or I wouldn't even say tackle, sorry, a swing of the elbow by Thomas. Like, surely I'd say Kev Doherty must be in fit to strangle him in
Yeah.
the afterwards. Like, it was absolutely in. Like, when we watched it back, like, I can't believe he's actually done this.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Tierney done great for it, though. You know, Tierney was hassling and getting stuck in and rattling him. So, well done, Tierney, in that regard. But yeah, moment of madness from Drogheda, because like, although we were the better side and, you know, we were probably creating the better chances, you still always thought that Drogheda, you know, to get a couple of corners, a couple of free kicks, you know, given our record, and we'd look vulnerable. So, I think everyone breathed a little sigh of relief when they went down to 10. And then all eyes were firmly focused on the television on the wall, looking at Pats and Chels.
Yeah, I think I made my way down to the after about 10 minutes ago or 5 minutes ago, I think I made my way down to the away section just to know, try to soak in the atmosphere. And you know, we still had the phone out, we're still watching the game, and of course Colin Whelan gets that great goal. Pity we didn't see more of it this season. I'm sure he'd be disappointed with his goals and appearance returns. It'd be interesting to see what happens to him in the off season given he's contracted. But on top of that too, we had the second goal then from Tierney, it was 4-1, and then we were sort of looking at the table and the permutations again. If Pat scored, really great. We needed another couple of goals here. We scored two more
The
goals here
goals, yeah, would have done us then.
without
Yeah,
going
someone
down.
only mentioned that at the time. Yeah, so I think we would have had to win by what? We won four. We would have, if Pats had a score, six would have done us. But
Yeah.
we were pushing on. It was a brilliant goal, the fourth goal, Tierney's goal. Just the two boys linking up Dawson, and lovely weight on the pass, and a brilliant finish. So yeah, that got the job done for us. But yeah, it would have been interesting to try and get the six if Pats had a score. I don't know whether we'd had enough time, but it was amazing that we even brought it to that was an option at that stage, you know.
Yeah, it'll be a bit of disappointment in Inchicore, I suppose. Not to all eyes, but Kenny not getting that top four. I think he said it was his first time in his managerial career he hasn't got a European place in a full
Wow.
season.
Wow.
He just won
Oh.
that. You see, he's obviously going to be under pressure. I know he's on a massive contract. I think there's talks of him being like 5 grand a week or something insane like
Yeah.
that. But you wonder if they go into the new season. You just don't know. But again,
Yeah,
but
it's funny with Pats. I mean, they're going to have the backing, so it's not as if, you know, the missing out in Europe's going to be a huge hindrance to them. Like, if Kelleher continues to put the money in, they'll still be competitive. They'll still be able to shop for the best players. So, I don't think that'll hinder their project long term. I think it will come good at Pats, but they'll just have to suck it up like we have for the last couple of years and sit this one out. So, enough of them, you know.
absolutely, yeah. We can have our day out and they can have their day in the joy, as they
Yeah,
say,
as
with
they
a bit of
say,
luck.
yeah. With a bit of luck, all dependent on our friends up in Tally, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. We're brothers across the water.
Yeah,
Now,
absolutely, yeah.
we didn't send them over all them players from over the years. Hopefully, they
No, you haven't.
fucking
Let's just hope
Yeah.
one of them gets the winner for us on the weekend, you know.
And I suppose the match ended, but unfortunately the controversy of sorts didn't really end. Mr. Reynolds done a little interview. To be honest, I think it was just, the quote was taken out of context in a roundabout way, but at the same time I thought to myself, man, could you not just shut the fuck up for once and just give a stock answer and just get on with it? You've not yet done what we wanted you to do. But at the same time, it's like, I know he's emotional, he can understand all the abuse he's gotten. And, you know, he isn't the robot at the end of the day. But I just thought to myself, like, it's the last game of the season. You've possibly clinched European football. Just give a stupid answer that tick boxes and don't fucking have a go with the fans. I know he did say at the end of the quote, people take the quote out of context. He said, I don't care if I please anyone who I please. I'm here to make this club successful, which just seemed to be the little bit at the end that people decided to leave out. But I don't know, it's just like fucking. Why did you have to fucking dig yourself a bigger another hole?
Yeah, listen. You want them to be vociferous, and you want them to be up for it, and you want them to be, you know, the battle lines to be drawn. But you don't pick a fight with your own supporters, like, you know. Even if some of the stuff that went on in Dalry Mount last week was OTT, it's gonna happen in a derby match. You know what I mean? And the way we relinquished that game last week, people were quite the entitled to be pissed off. And on the back of Galway, and on the back of not beating Pats. Which is the culmination of it, but I just don't understand why he's trying to pick that fight, you know. It's a hard one to swallow as well, but just as you said, keep the head down. We don't have to like him, he doesn't have to like us. It's a business relationship, but the season has been okay at best. It's not time for him to start gloating and picking fights with the supporters. You get your head down, we wait till Rovers. Please God, do the business this week and get ready for next season, because next season will have to be better. Pats are going to be better. Girls are going to, you know, start gelling again. Rovers will be Rovers. So we've a lot of work to do as well to try and be competitive again next year. I just didn't feel the need for it. And again, it's stock just dropped again, doesn't it? When you hear comments like that, and we need a solid foundation between the players and supporters, because we won't have the best players. There'll be teams with bigger budgets than us. We need that unity. And if we don't have that unity, we're going to drop 10%. What got us through when Long was there was the unity, the bond between the players and the supporters. And if we don't have that, we're not on the united front. We're going to struggle.
Yeah, all he had to do at the end of the day for that interview was more or less turn around and say, yeah, look, it's been a hard season. It was shit to start. It was good in the middle. And he said it was up and down at the end. It wasn't up and down. It was more downs than ups. He won 3 and
Yeah.
12 or something like that. And it was 2 and 11 prior to that last game against Rutland. Like, we were losing nearly every week. So, you know, it hasn't been a great season in terms of results because we've had 14 losses. That's fucking.
Yep.
40% of the games we're losing, and you know you just come out and say, "Oh yeah, look, hopefully we can push on a bit more next season. We'll forget the season. Let's get behind us now. Hopefully we get to Europe and we've all done." But now we sort of went out and still had a sort of a pop in a roundabout way, and I'm just like, "Fuck me, man! You're not doing yourself any favors." And this is the one club where you won't get away with that on the basis that we are the ones who own the club. Not the fucking Dermot
Yeah.
Desmond, and it's not fucking whoever else is around Kelleher, or you know, we're the ones that own the club. So even though you're having to pop at the certain factions and fans, they're also essentially your employer in a roundabout way.
Well, ultimately, whether he's right or wrong, like, us as supporters are going to side with our own supporters. We're not going to side with the manager, especially that has a track record that he has. We've just about got over the Croatia debacle. So get your head down, get the results. We're on the verge of getting Europe, which is what we wanted. Just shut up. Just shut up. Go into the dressing room and as you said, give the stock answer or give the supporters a little bit of credit. We've gone week in, week out. We fill Dalry Mount every week. We've gone away. And we back the team most of the time, 90% of the time. But Bulls fans will call out what they see, and Bulls fans aren't stupid. We're long enough in the tooth to know what's going on the pitch, and if it's not good enough, we'll call it out. If it's good enough, and then we see the effort, you will see the place rocking. So you'll get on with it, get down the tunnel, and let's see what happens next week. But a lot of frustrated people, like, you know. I can kind of brush it off to a certain extent. I'm looking at the bigger picture. You know, I can say I don't have to like the manager, but he's upset a lot of people, you know, and people that would be fairly vociferous supporters of the club. So, Yeah, it's not good, and there was no need for it. But let's not dwell on him. We're Bohemian supporters. We're not Alan Reynolds. He doesn't make or break the club. He's just a manager at the end of the day. So, I don't think we should dwell on it anymore. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. And we all went back to Fisbury. I think he might have went back. You think Guillaume Monaghan went home for a little party in the
Well,
thousands?
I told my dad that if we got the job done, I'd come back for and have a drink with him. Thinking that this would happen. So, as soon as I turned my phone back on after scuttling out, the phone started ringing, and he was looking for someone to share a drink with and go through it. So I got a lift back to my dad's house, had a nice bottle of wine. I think I went through a bottle of red in about 25 minutes, and had another couple of drinks and headed home. So yeah, as I said loads of times before, when Bows have big wins like that, there's no need to self-medicate. When we're on the wrong end of it, it's when things start run out of control and you're getting stuck in. But yeah, I went to bed a happy man on Saturday evening.
Yeah, and we went back to Daily Mount. Wasn't as late as it used to be when Mono was around, God bless him. But
Yeah.
we still had a few nice drinks, a bit of a good time. And fair play, a couple of players came out to the bar. I know a lot of them wouldn't have wanted it, given the bit of abuse they've gotten. But even the likes of Parsons was probably in the LBC, came to the bar into the fans and got his few pictures and had a few chats. So there's a lot to be fucking said for that. Same as Clarkie as well, like a lot of not known around his future, and people would obviously go up to, oh, yeah, signing for Rovers, the usual drunk scutters we all do. But came out and had a few drinks with the fans, Tierney as well, and Dawson Devoy was in the midst of it as well. Might be even singing his own song at some stage too. McDonald was there out and about too, and Bucko. I seen Bucko as well, had a good chat with him before it. But yeah, you have to fair play to the lads for tipping their hat down. It
Things
has
are
been
important,
amazing at times.
things like that are important, and again, touching on what I said a couple of minutes ago, you need that bond. Shell certainly had it with Duff, and they were successful. It definitely worth its weight in gold having that bond, and hopefully it's something we can kind of restore next season. But certainly Reynolds is not doing us any favors in that regard. But we'll see where we go anyway.
Yeah, I suppose we're touching on players there, Pete. I think we're probably touching a few contracts. Archie Meekison decided no more pastures now, or maybe it wasn't his decision, but we did. You said he showed flashes over the season earlier on, and it just never really got a consistent run of games, whether that be through injury or through just not breaking into the squad.
Yeah, again, passed him by towards the back end of the season, but he was great down in Cork. He got that big goal for us against Waterford, so he did make an impact. Probably unlucky with injuries as well. But yeah, listen, best of luck to him. No ill will or no hard feelings. It's another player we're going to have to replace,
Yeah, and my understanding is that I think there's a high chance we will probably be losing Cornwall at the end of the season, and now Sam Todd is meant to come in. I heard that Australian fullback could be signing. Casper, I believe, is signing for next year. I believe Devoy has another year anyway in his contract, as is Ross Tierney. Thinking, I never wrote them down, but I think McDonald's out of contract as it stands, but you'd imagine he'd be given another few months or another year or two.
Was Tierney and Devoy not another year, 2 years now?
Maybe the end of it. Someone did say to me, I think Boyce said to me he thinks they got 3.5 year deals.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. Yeah, so they've been 1.5, so that would
Maybe
suggest
they have
2 years
got
left.
3 years left, yeah. It's probably important. You don't want to go into next season thinking about where Devoy is going to end up. I think we're all right with Tierney. I think he's a Bowes man. His family are
Yeah.
fairly Bowes, and we can't see him going there. He'd be still wanted around the place. It's just that bit of Devoy, does Devoy want to go across the water, or does he want to go across
Well,
the
Tierney has those 16 kids, doesn't he? So, yeah, you'll have to
Liffey?
make sure they're looked after.
Yeah, absolutely. So, there's a couple of those players out of contract, and be interested to see what Talbot does. Fucking staunch Bowers man himself.
Yeah.
Will he hang around or will he go? So Sam Todd is apparently in the door. The Australian fullback is apparently in the door. Clark again, we don't know. I think that could be fairly 50-50 as it stands. Brian Robban has a bit of a job to do over Christmas time, trying to convince him to stay. So hopefully he's there.
No better man than Brian.
Absolutely. I believe Parsons another year, Colin Whelan's another year. Rooney's obviously got his 2 years, Lee Cavanagh's obviously got his other year, but I'd say I was very heavy critical of Lee Cavanagh, maybe not so much on the podcast, but certainly in the stands. And I think he was very good on Friday, and he was very good against Trotter. So I'm hoping we're going to see this player that people were talking about that might be there.
Yeah, he looked a different player the last couple of weeks. And he was getting his head stuck in. He was winning balls. He was winning all the scrappy ones on Saturday. So much improved. There obviously is a player there, you know. So let's hope he can kick on next season. The age old balls thing of writing players off too early, you know. I don't know whether we might live to regret this one, but let's hope he can improve the performance next season, because there is a player there if you listen to people.
Yeah, be interested to see as well if Bucco wants, or can't be kind enough for what he does off the pitch. But now Bucco's 34, soon enough. I think he wants to play a bit more football. I don't know, and maybe he just wants to shepherd his rest of his career at balls at a professional level.
Yeah, let's hope it works out from one way or the other. Like, similar to what we said about Talbot, if he's not going to play, I suppose, maybe go somewhere else and play his last couple of years. But the Chelsea game would probably, it'll show you how the league has changed. Like, you're up against big, powerful centre midfielders, Kerr, McInroy and the like. Bucco just doesn't have that physicality. Fantastic player, but I just think he's probably been left behind a little bit. The league has gone fully professional. They're a lot more athletic than maybe they used to be. So, I don't think we'll get much change out of Bucco going forward, but let's hope it works out from one way or the other.
Yeah, you're in Australia, and of course, an ACL probably didn't help his old age.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's nearly wrapped up there, and all the players. McManus has obviously got a couple-year deal. It'd be interesting to see him come back. If Clark does go, you would like to probably see McManus in the Devoy role, and maybe Devoy in that number 10 position.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a lot more games next year with our European group stages, conference league group stages. So we'll need the bigger squad. But yeah, McManus coming back in, he'll be looking to play plenty of football as well. You need that squad and start of the season, I suppose. If we are in Europe, the games will be front loaded, and we'll need that squad. The European teams tend to play each other early in the season, to free up a couple of weeks for Europe. So we'll need to be at it. We'll need to hit the ground running, early doors, and have us have squad there to cope with the Friday Monday for the European games, and the usual Friday Monday that the league always insists on playing at early doors. So we'll have to have a squad ready for it, or we'd be left behind quick enough.
Yeah, is anyone who you'd probably like to bring in realistically? You know, J.R. Martin was released from Sligo today as well.
Yeah, I saw that one there today. Just that they weren't renewing his contract.
It's a strange statement, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we were in for him a couple of times. Yeah, like we waxed lyrical about Morahan for most of the season, but he seems to have gone off the boil a little bit. So I think we're going to need an out and out fullback, one way or the other. I heard we're talking to a couple of Pats players. I think there's quite a few Pats players out of contract. So interesting to see what happens there. A couple of Galway players as well. Seem to be out of contract. So. And watch this space, I suppose. Nutsy will have to sharpen his pencil anyway and get moving.
Absolutely, yeah. And look, we said we'll probably know more. We won't have to worry about it on the podcast, but however, we'll move on as well. And I suppose wrapping up the season, what would you say it was the best days out, Pete? Give us a bit of your turn of
Oh, I
what you
just
enjoyed.
scribbled it down here. Yeah, like the best. I suppose in terms of an occasion, I thought the Aviva was fantastic. It was a great occasion. Best performance we had. Was against Rovers and Dalymount on that Monday night. I mean, we said it at the time, that was the best we've seen both playing in a long, long, long time. So the two of them were special, but the best one for me was Tala. It was just fantastic. Everything about it, the time of day, said I had my Jungfleur with me. And after all the heartache up there, to get that win was just brilliant. So the three Rovers games for me, the best result, the best performance, and the best occasion. The three of them there.
Yeah, I've heard of this weird. The Rovers game at home was probably performance of the season for me. Best away performance, I'd say, was probably the last game of the season. Or maybe if you wanted to call that an away performance. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what next year brings. Hopefully, a few of these great moments come in Europe, because anyone who's around the 21, they'll know what the buzz around the Aviva, and even the game out in Greece. It's a bit of fun. So anyone that has a wife, missus and kids, you know, Pete, you're probably putting the groundwork in already.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
You
the
know,
family
you
holiday is booked anyway, but July is free in the calendar, so We can roam around Europe in July, please God. But yeah, just to touch on that as well, it's only a conversation we were having on Saturday that although the Aviva was great and it was COVID, you'd really want first games to be played in Daly Mount, the first European game, if at all possible, you know. Especially considering that it could be our last year there. The club should be doing everything they can to get the first one in Daly Mount anyway, you know. Where we go after that, I suppose, is anyone's guess, or whether we qualify or whether we get through, but you'd really, really want that last game in Daly Mount.
Yeah, the understanding is it's actually only the fourth round they can probably be playing it. That's the rumor. I know Shell's managed to get a few, and someone pointed out to me today why they were able to do it. But it'd be interesting to see would we use Tallaght or would we have to be fucking stubborn and try maybe use Inchicore or, God forbid, maybe an Aviva, depending on the fixture.
Which I tell you, the Inchicore is probably only has the same capability as Daly Mount, so that's probably scratched off after maybe round one. I couldn't play in Inchicore. Jesus, what a kip. Would I go to Tallaght? Jesus Christ, I don't know whether we could do that at the club. Jesus Christ. Well, they've played enough European games at Daly Mount over the years, but wouldn't sit well me going there. Listen, we'll worry about it at a later stage, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And bar across that moment a couple of weeks ago on Daily Mountain on a Sunday, any particular low light that you want to try put into the back of the memories of?
There's been plenty of them, hasn't there? Like the Drogheda on the Monday night, the Derry. That's the start of the season. I don't know whether you remember that one. It was just a flat performance, and it was looking like that was the end of the road for Reynolds. I think yourself and Silke were on the podcast after that, and it was really doom and gloom. But yeah, I remember leaving Inchicore that night. Really, really disillusioned with the direction we were going in. And then the obvious ones, yeah, the Gels one obviously was a killer. And Galway a couple of weeks ago was hard to swallow as well. But yeah, as you said, 14 games, so we've plenty of choices for the worst of the season. But there's been some good away trips, like, you know, I suppose. Give shout out to Barry Comfort for what he's done in terms of the away buses this year. They've been lively, they've been boisterous, but great way of getting people back together again and getting people traveling again, like-minded people. So well done, Baz. He's played a blinder this year.
Absolutely. I suppose one of the lowlights for me was probably that. Actually, funny enough, the Cork home game, we won 1-0. McManus scored. It was throwing that rotten patch. I think we weren't, even though we'd won, I think
Yeah.
everyone was close to
We
like
were awful
chasing
that
off
night.
the pitch.
Yeah.
Like it was that bad. I think Cork had played on the Monday maybe, and even we played them on the Friday, and they more or less had a number for the whole game. And McManus pops up with a great goal through the box. But I think even after that win, people were fit to kill.
Yeah, Cork battled us that night. Yeah, it just wasn't a nice place to be that night, Daly Mount. Even though we got the win, it was tense, it was nervy, and it was, you know, just wasn't a good night to be a Bulls fan. But yeah, there was a few of them all right. But Gels certainly, I think, is probably the pick of the bunch.
Yeah, and if you had to pick a player of the year, a couple of players in their mind, I think
Yeah.
maybe sometimes the obvious answer is the right answer. I know there
Yeah,
wasn't a
I'm gonna
player of the
go
year,
for
it
the
was,
obvious
but who's
ones.
the
Yeah,
reason?
the obvious ones are Dawson Devoy and James Clark. You can't really look past the two of them. Maybe Casper might run them close. I'd probably side with maybe Clark a little bit, just with the big goals he's got. Not Dawson has been fantastic, not taking anything away from him, but Clark with those big goals up in Drogheda probably just shades it for me. People will probably say to me that he was missing in a couple of the bigger games towards the end of the season, but I think Clark has been our focal point all season. Even when he, you know, started the season up top and he was their lone striker, I thought he played that role really, really well. And the night we beat Rovers in Daly Mount again, he was exceptional. And that purple patch we had, he was really at the forefront of that. So I'll just shade it, give Clark the nod over Dawson. Only slightly though, you know.
Yeah, do you know, as much as Dawson's been good, it's probably hard to sort of disagree with that. Dawson's been a class act, and I don't think many people would challenge that he's the best midfielder in the league. I think what Clark gave was the job he had to do this season. You know, he was using a false nine last year. I know Reynolds has basically signed four strikers since he came into the club.
Yeah.
Two are no longer at the club. The other one was Colin Whelan, who sadly just hasn't worked out for him. And the other one was obviously Douglas James Taylor, who, you know, hasn't got a run of games. I don't think he's played three games in a row since he signed for us. So Clark's more or less been our lone striker this season, always fit nearly. I think he might miss one game through injury. He's always fit, never really seems to look like he's going to get himself a red card or do something stupid. I think he's played out of his skin up front. For this is a player who was very much out of favour for Reynolds, more or less, since he came in the door.
And listen, like another thing that I'd add about Clark is if he is out the gap, and good luck to him if he's off to, you know, to the UK or whatever the case may be, to put in that level of effort knowing that he's out the gate when he won't even be here for the European Games, to drag us almost to Europe, you know, when he's out the gap, that makes it even more admirable, you know what I mean? So, yeah, well done, James Clark. Just don't go, Tala.
Yeah, he did make a promise in the bar that he wasn't going there to a few people, so let's hope he upholds him, because I know a few haven't over the
You broke their promises over the years. Yeah. We have a great record of people leaving Tala and going into Tala. Fans leaving Tala and players going into Tala.
Yeah, unfortunately so.
Yep.
A few questions here to get around the houses before we wrap up
Yeah.
for tonight and for the rest of the season. To rate the season now with 10.
Oh, been up and down, Jordan. Jesus. It's been hard going at times. It's been frustrating. You know, like they broke your hearts, but we've had some good times, and I think Zorro sent a few pictures on one of the groups this morning, and some great memories in there. Like, you know, some of them on the pitch, some of them off the pitch, but yeah, it's another season under our belt. It hasn't all been bad, hasn't all been good, hasn't been pretty sometimes. I'd probably hold me fire till Sunday, but listen. If to get into Europe and qualify for Europe by hook or by crook, that's exactly what we wanted, and that's what we asked for at the start of the season. So you'd have to say a 7 or an 8 if the job is finished off on Sunday. We all know there's loads of improvement required. We all know a lot of the guys haven't been good enough, but if we get to Europe and we get that trip next season and we have that involvement next season, the season will have been a success. So 6.5, but it can jump up to an 8 if things go our way on Sunday.
Yeah, I said it's probably a 6.5 as it stands. If you can qualify, you'll probably give a 7.5, pushing an 8. Our job was to get into Europe. That would have been out punching our budget. I know people said we didn't deserve Europe and blah, 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 but the table doesn't lie at the end of the season. You get what you deserve.
Exactly. That's don't deserve it. You know, we will fin have finished fourth. Like I can't remember the last time the team that finished fourth didn't qualify for Europe. Long, it must be a
Last
long,
year.
long time ago. Last year.
Derry came
Right.
fourth.
There you go. Doing my homework tonight. Christ almighty. Well, before that then.
Oh yeah, I couldn't tell you. But yeah,
Yeah, Christ. Yeah.
well, hopefully that pattern continues, because we don't need Cork playing Europa League football next year, when
Apparently not.
they'll be in Finn Harps 1 week and fucking Macedonia the next.
Yeah, I can't see it now. Listen, I'm not counting my chickens just yet, but I can't see it. I think Rovers will be too strong, especially on that pitch. The experience they have, but we'll hold our breath anyway.
Yeah, I'll give the season a 6.5 and pushing up to 8, like yourself, if we can get that fourth spot confirmed into Europe. That's probably what we're aiming for. If we can do that for a few seasons, that's essentially what we're after. We're looking to get something, a bit of foundation and a bit of stability. Again, next year's not going to get easier. If we hadn't qualified for Europe this year, would have really struggled to see us doing next year, because I think Shells and Rovers are probably going to the title, given Shells run a form at the end of the season. Derry are going to look to add and improve, and you can't imagine Camp Hats be as bad as you were again this year, so it's kind of like, well,
Yeah,
we have to sort of
that's going
punch
to be
him up a
tough. Yeah,
little bit
tougher
more.
again next year. But like as I said, we'll have that cushion of Europe, and ultimately, what football is all about is the memories you make, and us going away together as a group. As I said, I think you said to me on the weekend that Bowes have qualified for Europe twice in 14 years, both during COVID. I mean, how fucking unlucky can you get? So, if we can get a gang of us away in Europe next year, you know, all the torture, all those hard memories and all those kicks in the bollocks that we took this year, it'll be all worth it for that 2 or 3 day period, you know. And be great to be involved. European draws, planning flights, that's all about, you know, being a supporter. And they're just magical times. They're the best of times, going to Europe with Bowls, you know. So it'll all have been worth it if it comes to fruition now on the weekend.
Yeah, and a couple of more questions now before we wrap up. Strengths and weaknesses this year. I think the weakness has been fairly much at the back, hasn't it? Hopefully, we were
Yeah.
bringing Sam Todd, Ocadini. You'll hopefully get a pre-season in, and we'll start again, go again.
Yeah, he's injured Ocadini, is he? Or
I've no idea. I have no idea if he's injured or not, but you can help him. Kavanagh, I'm not sure. Bourne's out of contract as well, actually. Be interesting to be signing him, or you just wonder like what the fuck's going to happen. You have to, as much as you need to try bringing better players, you also need to hold a good core that you can't go into next season saying, oh yeah, we need time to gel, because you haven't got time to gel in this league. You have to fucking hit the
You
ground
don't.
running, especially when they're
No,
front line of
absolutely.
pitchers.
So competitive. And as I said, that season's going to start off like a house on fire next year with all those games front ended, as we said. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. Our strengths. We had that
Our
will to
mental health.
win early in the season. Yeah, that will to win and that going till the end. During our purple patch was great to see. Like the amount of late goals we got was fantastic. It seemed to flip then, and we start to look edgy towards games. But it's been a total mixed bag. There hasn't been, one area of that team that you said was our strength or our weakness. It's been unpredictable from series of games to series of games. So it's not something I can probably say with any great conviction what our great strengths are and what our weaknesses were, because it changed from point to point.
Absolutely, yeah. And a couple of people asking the question about the contract situation. Was it too early? I know it seems like it might have worked out in the end, but I'd imagine the board would have put some sort of when they've done the contracts with Reynolds and O'Donnell, that they'd probably put a bit of security around the terms and conditions of maybe having to relieve them of their duties. But at the same time, like, you can't go into the last game of a season, whatever we were in fifth place, that deciding that if he wins today and we get fourth, he keeps his job, and if he loses, he gets sacked in the morning, and we're back into a 6 week process of trying to find another manager. I think, as much as we all would have loved that to be an ideal world where you could wait until the season's over, you simply can't do that in a professional environment.
Yeah, it's circumstantial as well because I mean, like, imagine our second round of games had it been our fourth round of games, and we're coming on like a steam train, and we're progressively getting better and better and better. I think why the pressure came on so hard. I mean, I suppose this is the obvious answer is because within our hands, and it looked like we'd thrown it away. I mean, it would have been one of the biggest collapses, not to get fourth in our history. Like, it was just shambolic the points total for the last couple of games, with the 4 points out of 16 or something before
It was
Saturday.
definitely 4 out of 12 anyway. It would have been Rovers and Clearwood, yeah, so it would have been 4 out of 16, I
Like,
think.
that's you were just watching that league table getting progressively worse and more, and that's obviously what drove the frustration at the Shell match, and that's what drove the nervousness going up there. But they pulled out a performance when they needed it the most. So, good luck to them. And let's hope we can get it done Sunday.
Yeah, I love that we, that collective we can get it done Sunday.
Yeah, I know. Jesus Christ, I'd be shot, wouldn't I? Christ Almighty.
But I think, I hate to say this to the viewers, I think it's Rovers' first double since the 80s if they do it.
I honestly couldn't care if they won the Champions League once we get to Europe, and that I know that's probably not the popular opinion, but like I know a lot of people will even Bowes fans will still want Rovers to be beaten the weekend. But listen, Bowes first and foremost, and we're important. So there's a bit of collateral damage along the way, and we still get to Europe. I don't give a flying fiddlers, as they say,
Absolutely, I love Bowes. Well, I love Bowes as more than I hate Rovers, but I probably hate Bowes at times more than I hate Rovers.
I say to everybody, I hate Bowes more than I hate
Yeah.
anybody. Certainly a love-hate relationship we're in. We're back in the out of the doghouse, Bowes, anyway, for this week.
As I said, Bowes, three things: love, hope, and misery.
You
That's the
better believe
fucking
it, yeah.
the golden trio. So look, we'll wrap up on that, P. We won't predict next season just yet. We're looking probably at a double, maybe a treble if we can get to the latter stages in Europe. I know we hope we avoid Trosmo, which is about an hour away on a ferry from fucking the Arctic Circle.
Listen, further the better. Like the further away, the better. Anywhere bar Wales, Northern Ireland, the further away, the better. And the draw for the Leinster Senior Cup was made this evening as well. So we've Bray Wanderers, we've Fingal, and we've Wexford. So
It's there for us.
you better believe it. You better believe it.
Anyway, thanks very much for everyone for listening. Or rambles and shy talk every week. Pete, very, very much thanks to you and your time throughout the whole year. And
No
if there's
problem.
any sort of fucking God or any sort of, good luck over Bowes, and which there hasn't been in my lifetime anyway, please God, it's
No,
shining on
listen,
the Sunday.
I don't even know whether I'll watch this match on Sunday now, but all going well, we'll be having a beer Sunday evening, or a cider for me and the count. We'll be having a cider on Sunday evening and getting the savings account ready to go. So we won't be saying come on the Hoops, but
Yeah.
but
Say, come
we'll
on,
feel
Cork
it.
Lewis.
Come on, Cork, exactly. Yeah, listen, well done, Jordan. Good season, and thanks for everything.
Yeah, please. Let's all say our fucking prayers for me. Anyway, folks, it's done.
Come on, the boss.
'Cause we all follow Bows wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We had the Bowies and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we'll sing it again.